Did you have a good day today? Did anybody get rained on today? Oh, yes. Did anybody slide around in the mud today? Awesome. Man, let me tell you something. You are worshiping awesome tonight. Listen, we have had fun on the river today. We've had fun in somebody else's swimming pool today. We've hung with friends and we've met new friends. Yup. I was over by the girls' dorm today and we were rearranging a stair and doing some things. And I heard this girl walk up to this boy, and maybe it's you, I don't know. And she said, "Are we friends?" And the boy said, "Yeah, man, we're friends." And he said, "Well, that's good because your friend is my girlfriend," and turned around and ran off the other way. Awesome. Sweet, we're really good friends right now, all right? But we've had a great day. We've had fun. We've laughed this morning as your counselors acted like barn animals. Hold on, stop. There was one sound that we heard loud and clear, and what was that sound? So every time you see the Mountain Movers group, you just walk up there and... Too funny. And then we had a good day. But everything focuses in on this moment right here. As I've told our team for weeks, that what happens, the most important thing at camp happens inside of this room, not at mealtime, which that biscuits and gravy this morning was really good. And that Snack Shack chicken is pretty good as well. But the most important thing happens in this room every single night at 7:30 when we have the opportunity to get into the presence of God. You see, this week is a week for you to just eliminate the distractions in your life. This is a time for you to meet some friends that are going to heaven with you, that love God with you, that want to see you succeed on your journey. This is a week that there's a group of leaders and counselors that we just want to love on you and we want to hang with you and high five you. I was telling Chad, our head counselor today, my absolute favorite place to stand during mealtime is right here. You got, wave at me. You, right there. Liv Generous shirt, wave at me. Wave at me. Wave at me. Wave at me. Yeah, you right there. I love standing there and you're walking through your line and you just made this taco and you got my favorite thing of all, that peach crisp. I've got three bowls of peach crisp waiting for me in the kitchen, all right? I'm really excited about that peach crisp. And just so you know, my weight doesn't matter, all right? I weigh 200 and none of your business, all right? But we have all these great things. But what we want most from you is for you to have a God moment this week. I want you to leave this place and for God to completely wreck your life. I want you to leave this place and to know that there's a group of leaders and counselors pastors and youth pastors that have loved on you and have poured their hearts into you and hanging out, but also poured their hearts into you in our altar time and in our prayer time. Because the message of Jesus Christ isn't just for right now, but the message of Jesus Christ is forever. Somebody say forever with me. One, two, three. Do it again. One, two, three. forever. One of my favorite movies of all time. Favorite movies is The Sandlot. Any Sandlot friends in the house? My top three movies of all time is, number one is Rudy. If you've never seen Rudy, it's about this dude that walked on at Notre Dame University and played football. Number two is The Fox and the Hound, the Disney movie that nobody knows about. They were best friends and they wander off and who knows what happened to each other. I'd sit there at a small age and just cry. And my mom's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I promise, Mom, I'm all right. My third favorite movie is The Sandlot because I wanted to grow up and be Ozzie Smith of the St. Louis Cardinals and wear number one. Ozzie Smith, Albert Pujols, he's gone. Forget that guy. But in that movie, that little boy's telling that story and he says those words, forever. If you've never seen it, yeah, The Big Dog. If you've never seen it, go home, watch it on Netflix. It's probably illegally on YouTube somewhere. You can watch it there too. But in Hebrews, and I shared this last night in Hebrews 13 and 8, it says this. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. When Becca and I got married, true story, when Becca and I got married, a bunch of my buddies, we had gone out the night before, and Matt's in the booth, and he was with us. Man, we were getting ready to get married at that evening. And me and my buddies had stayed out all night that night, just hanging out and doing stupid stuff. And Becca called me that morning at like 10 o'clock, and she's like, babe, you have got to get out of bed. We have got to do stuff for this wedding. Any adults know what I'm talking about? My mom was on the way to help set up for the wedding. We ran her car out of gas the night before. We were in Jeff City. She ran out of gas on the Missouri River Bridge. Our wedding did not start off as something that was going to last forever. It was going to last about 7 minutes until we said I do and we parted ways. But the marriage between Becca and I is something that we want to last forever. You see, when you get married and you find that spouse or you find that significant other, what you're doing is you're making a commitment before man and you're making a commitment and a covenant before God. And that marriage comes together, and the purpose of that marriage is so that it lasts forever. I know there's broken homes all across America. Man, you may live in one right now. But that relationship between that husband and that wife, that union is to last forever. Another relationship that we strive and we want to teach you about and talk to you about is about your relationship with God. You see, I don't want just a quick relationship with God that, man, when you come to camp, you get on this absolute spiritual high and you chase God down and you're like, oh, man, that was the best worship ever, man. And, man, that speaking was great. And there was something that happened and a tear fell from my eye. And then all of a sudden you get in a van on Friday and you head home. And we're in the same boat as where we started with before we got here. Listen, your relationship with God that starts this week, or maybe it's already started, needs to be something that catapults your life, not just for a few weeks or a few months or a few years, but it should be something that catapults your heart and catapults your life for all of eternity. For all of eternity. My friend Webster says that forever is this, is for a future time or for always. The Bible tells us in His Word that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. From a leader in this room to a counselor to a kid in this room, we've all fallen short. We've all messed up. But as my dad says all the time, at the foot of the cross, it's all level. We all walk in and we say, Christ, forgive me of my sins. Christ, make me a new creature. Christ, come into my heart and come into my life. Maybe you've prayed that prayer. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never uttered those words and you don't even know what they mean. Jesus wants to come into your life. In James chapter 4 and 14, it says this, for you do not know what tomorrow holds. One of these days, every single one of us is going to stand before God. And God's going to look at us and he's going to say, you know what? You've done a great job. Well done, thou good and faithful service. You've accepted me into your heart. You've lived a Christ life. You've modeled your life after Christ. You've modeled your life after the scripture. You've done great things. Or the other word is this, is depart from me. I never knew you. And we know what that represents. But one day, you may say, Brandon, man, that's a long time from now. I had a 16-year-old cousin about 4 or 5 years ago was on her way to school on a fall morning, driving in a small town called Herman, Missouri. And a semi-truck smacked her on the side of her driver's side door, and within a matter of seconds, she was removed from this life. As the book of James says, we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow represents. The Bible tells us that this life that we live is just a vapor. It's just a season that we're passing through. Just a moment in time. Just a moment in time. Lauren, hand me that rope behind your head. Pull it. Come on, pull it. Come on, Will, you're good. Stay right there. In your life, there's 4 stages of your life. There's from birth to 19 years old. And it's when in those areas of your life, your morals are going to be established. Your values are going to be established. Who you are is going to become established. My daughter's in this camp. She's 12 years old. And she came home from school just this year. And she said, Dad, they want me to decide what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I'm like, babe, you are 12 years old. Slow your roll. But there's a gap in our life. And you guys are in that gap right now. From the age of 0 to 19 years old. And in this gap right here, it's going to define who you are. You're going to define what kind of person you're going to be. You're going to define what your walk with God is going to look like right now. You right now are going to define what kind of character and what kind of personality that you have. Right now, in this time of your life, because your life is like Play-Doh. It's moldable. It's easy to make something. After you get past 19, you know what happens? You get old like me and Brad. You get set in your ways. And it's hard to change and it's hard to adapt. Brad just looking at me like, shut up, dude. It's hard to adapt. It's hard to do something different. But where you are in the season of your life right now, all of the rest of your life is in front of you. There's times that in my life, I just want to hit the rewind button. But listen, in life, the rewind button doesn't exist. The choices, the decision, the friends, the people you hang around right now is going to affect the rest of your life. So choose wisely. Choose wisely. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are you letting speak into your life? Who are you letting have their way in your life? Who are you letting influence your life? Are you the influencer or somebody else influencing your life? The next section is the work section. 20 to 60 years old. You're going to work a job. You're going to pay some bills. You're going to work hard for what you got. This is the section that all of our leaders and counselors are in right now. My buddy Jesse's here. Hi, Jesse. Jesse has been part of summer camp with Becca and I for 10 years. And Jesse is learning what a real job looks like right now. I needed a van today, and we called him and said, Jesse, can you bring a van down? I need a van really bad. And he's like, whatever I can do to come to the campground, I'm coming down your way. But when you're in this bracket, you got kids, you're passing on your faith to this group of people. You got children that you're molding and shaping their lives right now. That's what your mom and dads are doing. And then there's 60 to retirement or until you die. But what about the rest of this rope? What does it represent? It represents forever. Forever. This life is just a vapor. This life is just a season. This life is just a moment. This life is just a twinkling of the eye. I used to think that my grandparents were old. Man, my grandma is old, man. My grandma lives in Stover, Missouri. She attends Family Worship Center in Versailles. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. And I used to think, man, my grandma is so old. Now I get older and I'm like, man, my mom and dad are the age that my grandma was when I thought my grandma was old. They're not old. But this life is just a vapor. We're just passing through this life. Hold this, Will. Hold on, don't move yet. So when death hits us all one day, what's left? What's left? Forever. So my question for you tonight, leading up into this moment, is this. Are you willing to just go through the motion of church and just go through the season of life? Are you in? Or are you ready to get serious about your walk with God? I read a book recently called Radical. I got through the first chapter of the book Radical, and some of you adults may have read it. And there was such a conviction that just rattled my bones on the inside, because it was talking about reaching lost people. Who have we reached lately? Have we shared the message of Christ with anybody? Or are we too busy sitting in our padded chairs in our churches and sitting in the air conditioning? Or are we ready to go tell somebody about the message of Jesus Christ? Are we ready to walk through the halls of our high school? Are we ready to walk through the halls of our school and say, you know what? Forever matters. Forever. You're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. Forever matters. So in this section right here, what are you doing? Are you serving God? Are you going to church faithfully? Are you telling your youth pastor or your children's pastor or your senior pastor, hey, you know what? I'm serving God. I'm on fire for God. I want God to change my school. I want to do something great for Him. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, and Ethan's going to throw it on the screen. It says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And knock and the door will be open to you. You see, this gift of salvation is like a present. There's nothing greater. My birthday's coming up in 2 weeks, and I absolutely love my birthday because it's all about me. It ain't about anybody else. It's all about me. I can have my cake or more than one cake or my pie or whatever I want. It's all about me. But what's separating me from this gift is this door, is this obstacle, is this deal. And I'm never going to get on the other side to receive the gift unless I open up this door. My mom and dad are really bad. They go home and they've got 6 locks on their door. Not really. But every time they come in and out of their door, their house, they're locking their door. And it drives me crazy. We live here down here in the middle of the country. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I don't lock up anything in my house. You come break in and I'm home, I'm going to help you move out, okay? You can have it all. But they lock up everything. Why? Because what's on the inside is valuable. What's on the inside is important. And they're trying to protect and preserve and keep what's on the other side to keep you out, to keep a stranger out, to keep a thief out, to keep somebody out that doesn't deserve what is on the other side. You ever feel that knocking on your heart? Man, am I making a good choice right now? Am I making a good decision right now? That ain't just your little conscience. That's the Holy Spirit. That ain't just your little conscience thinking, oh man, I better not make that choice right now. I better not do that. That's the Holy Spirit knocking at your door, saying, hey, hey, what's on the other side is valuable. Hey, hey, what's on the other side needs to be protected. I don't know you. Come here. Stand right there. You want that gift? Oh, did you see them eyes light up? He said, you want it? You want it? How bad do you want it? How bad? Does anybody else want it? Oh, come on. Does anybody else want it? What if I locked this door and kept him out? That'd be bad, wouldn't it? That'd be depressing. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to knock on that door. I'm going to open this door. Hold on, I'm not ready for it yet. Slow your roll, boy. I want you to knock on this door. I'm going to give you what's on the other side. And I want you to open it. You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. That's yours. That's what salvation is. So many times you can have a seat. You can open that in a little bit. There is something in there for you. So many times. Listen, so many times the Lord's dealing with our heart and he's wanting to get into our lives. But just as this door represents a physical barrier, there's a spiritual barrier that happens of why that we don't allow the Lord in. A lot of times it's sin. Sin is what separates us from God. Sometimes it's a past hurt. Sometimes it's anxiety and depression. Something that we rarely want to talk about in the church is mental health. But it's a real deal. Anxiety and depression creeps in and there's this block between us and God. God, I want in on the other side. And we let our mind play games with us. Some of you guys know last year at camp, I tore my knee up really bad. I had surgery 7 days after camp. And for the next 6 weeks, I was in a straight leg brace and in a wheelchair and on crutches. And the devil had a heyday in my life. And I wasn't even going to share this with you, but I'm going to anyway. And man, my heart, man, I was serving God. But there was something right here. There was a roadblock. There was a barrier that was separating me from God. And man, I just felt like breaking. Because mentally I was crumbling and mentally I was falling apart. I would tell Becca, babe, this is never going to get better. I'm never going to walk again right. My therapist and my doctor after 7 weeks said, you can walk. And I'm like, man, I'm going to walk like normal, dude. I had that brace on and I'm walking like a zombie. Mentally, man, I was just struggling. There's somebody here, man. I don't know why the Lord's got us here, but you're struggling mentally. You're struggling with depression. You may be an adult. You're struggling with anxiety. You're struggling with worry. You're struggling with doubt. There's a hindrance that's happening that's keeping you from the presence of God. And you're saying, God, if I could just get on the other side, if I could just get in your presence, things will be better. And the separation is your mind. And the devil's having a heyday. He's having a heyday because he knows that, you know what, I got you trapped right where I want you. I was driving in my truck in the middle of October heading to a therapy appointment. Still couldn't walk right. Still was struggling. My daughter plays on a basketball team. A bunch of the girls from the basketball team were here. One of the things I love to do is when we made them run, I wanted to run with them. I'm not going to make you do something and not want to do it myself. I don't know why. It's just how I'm working. It's just how my mind works. I go to their basketball practice and I just sit there. Couldn't do anything. Was driving in October to a therapy appointment. And a song by Elevation came on and it was called Here Again. And if I listened to that song one time, I listened to that song 100 times that day. And I was broken on the inside. And tears were streaming down my face. And I wanted God's presence so bad. I wanted to feel like things were going to be okay. But this barrier was a real deal. And it was like on that day, the door was open. And I stepped through onto the other side. That's what sin does. That barrier's there. You open it. God, forgive me of my sins. God, I'm a new creation in you. My sins are washed white as snow. I'm going to step through to the other side. There's some of you here tonight, and in just a few moments, we're going to give you that opportunity. Because what matters? Your life right now matters. It matters that you have a real, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't just come to this world so that we could sing some songs about him, but he came to this world so that you and I could have a way to the cross and a way to be forgiven of our sins. That's why he came. So here's what I want you to do tonight. Right where you sit, I want you to close your eyes and bow your head with me. Come on. Shh. Come on, right there. Father God, God, right now, God, as we sit in this place, God, we're taking evaluation over our heart and over our life. God, right where we sit. God, there's somebody here right now that doesn't know you as their Savior, and tonight's the night for salvation. There's somebody here, God, that they've known you once before, but they've kind of drifted away. And tonight, we're going to rededicate our life to you. God, as I've planned and prayed and prepared for this night, as weird as this may sound, there's some adults in here that need to get right with you. God, no matter where we are or what season in our life that we're in, God, we need a relationship with you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I invite your Spirit to come into this place. I invite you to have your way into our hearts and into our lives. God, because tonight we're crossing over to the other side. Tonight we're walking through the door to receive the gift that you have for us. God, tonight, God, we're stepping through to victory. God, tonight, we're going to be raised to life. God, tonight, you're going to heal our hearts. God, tonight, you're going to help us with our brokenness and fix our brokenness. God, tonight, God, your love is going to fill our heart and it's going to fill our lives. God, tonight, we want to be in your presence. God, right now. Right where you sit, nobody looking around. You say, Pastor Brandon, man, I need to give my heart to Jesus. You say, Pastor Brandon, I need to make some things right. I need God to forgive me of my sin. I've made some bad choices and I've messed up and I'm not living the life for God that I should. But tonight, I want to make things right. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Come on. Don't be scared. Hands are going up all across this place. Come on. Don't look around. Come on. You and God. Honest evaluation. God, tonight, I need to step over to the other side. I need to cross over. You can put your hands down. You may be here tonight. And you may say, Pastor Brandon, I've taken some evaluation and I need to rededicate my life to God. I need God to become Lord of my life of all things, not just some things or half of the things. I need him to come in and I need to give him some issues that I'm dealing with. I need to give him some anxiety. I need to give him some depression. I need to give him some worry. I need to give him some fear that I'm having. I need to cast my cares upon the Lord, as the scripture tells us. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Come on. Hands are going up all across this place. Put your hands down. If you raised your hand that you want to accept Christ, I want you to stand up quietly. Come on, first thing, come on. Stand up quietly. Don't move. Leaders, interns in the house, come on, make a front row. Come on. Stand up. Come on. We're going to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ tonight. The only way to heaven is through the cross. The only way to heaven is through salvation. I want you to take another big step with me, and I want you to come up here, and I want you to find a leader, and they want to pray for you. Ready? Move now. Come on. Come on. Move. Ain't nobody looking at you funny. Listen, we're worried about the rope. We're worried about the life that we can live. Move now. Come on. Come on. Push in. Come on. Push.